Welcome to Coaching Conversations with Margo Myers. This podcast is produced by Shipley Coaching, where discovery inspires growth.
Hi, I'm Margo Myers, an executive and leadership coach, and I coach people on leadership, communication, and career success. And we are talking everything coaching. Coaching is all about maximizing your potential to achieve your goals. And if you've ever known what it is you want to achieve and you don't have an exact plan to get there and stay committed to your goal, coaching may be for you or your organization. Today, we're looking at ways to stay resilient during the COVID-19 pandemic, and many of us have been staying at home for weeks, wondering what's ahead for our families, our jobs, and our communities. Joining me today on the podcast is executive and leadership coach Constance Welch. She is passionate about applying the research and the science behind leadership to help people maximize their potential. Constance has an MBA from Columbia University and an MA in Mythological Studies and Depth Psychology from Pacifica Graduate Institute. And she really enjoys that interplay between the hard skills and the research and the softer skills of storytelling, emotional intelligence, and positive psychology. She is also an embedded leadership coach at the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard. So thanks for being here today, Constance. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for inviting me, Margo.
Oh, you're welcome. Resilience just seems so important during this time. How we navigate challenges successfully now will help determine how we come out of the other side of this. How has your experience been through this pandemic so far?
One of the things I know about resilience is that it's times like now that we learn to be resilient. We don't learn to be resilient when things are going well. We learn to be resilient in challenging times. And that has definitely been true for me. I started out working remotely and started worrying about just about everything. My parents are now in their 80s, fairly good health, but who knows? I have friends with serious health conditions. I started worrying about my income. I started worrying about things that I had no control over, that I might not know I had COVID-19 and pass it on to someone else who later dies. Anything and everything. And the only way that I finally got out of the cycle was to recognize that I was in it. I forgot everything I knew about brain science, emotional intelligence, all of it. And I stayed in this panicked place because I'm human. And the human condition is that when we're in our sympathetic nervous system and a little bit of cortisol, you know, the stress hormone cortisol, it's secreted into our body, into our brains, we focus and we're actually better cognitively with a little bit of cortisol. But when we dump cortisol into our system under high stress and we get a spike of adrenaline with it, we become almost unable to focus cognitively. It's a really strange experience, and it's hard to get out of unless you can take a deep breath and step back. So the bottom line is to get into your parasympathetic nervous system. And it took me days. I was in my sympathetic nervous system so stressed out for almost a week before I started to become a little more resilient.
Right. And so, you know, if we define resilience as the capacity to recover quickly from, you know, difficulties or toughness in some sense, the ability to bounce back. Talk a little bit about, I mean, and you're experienced in this, right? And so many people listening, they don't have the depth of knowledge and experience that you do in dealing with this. And so I think your point about even those of us who have experience in this, we can fall into these traps. How did you manage to step out of that period of panic? What changed for you?
I remember the basics, and the basics are, number one, always self-care, getting 8 hours of sleep at night, eating well, exercising every day, especially walking, because walking is a bilateral stimulation, so it helps us integrate whatever's happening in our lives. That was the first thing. and reaching out to my support network. There's nothing more important than a good, solid support network. It changes everything for us when we have supportive people to talk to who uplift us, who recognize how wonderful we are, people who encourage us and remind us who we are. That was the beginning, was self-care and a good, my strong support network.
It's so important to reach out in this time particularly, because I think while we're quarantining or, you know, practicing staying at home, especially for people who either have small families or who live alone, it can really feel isolating, can it?
Yes, it can. And the biggest wisdom I could share about resilience really is to work to your strengths. If what you're good at is joking around and you're home with your spouse and two children and you're fighting more than you've ever fought before, well, create a third person. Say, we now have a roommate named Jane who creates all these problems, and you say, Jane, why did you leave the dishes out now? I mean, just play, do anything you can to get yourself so that you're not being disturbed by those that you're living with.
I mean, I love the playing to your strengths, because I'm a firm believer in that even during normal times, right? I think if we hone our strengths and the things that we are naturally good at doing, we will have so much more success. So I think that during this time when we can really play to our strengths, I think that's great advice. What else is another practice? You know, the self-care is another one. Are there any other ways that we can also practice at getting better at being resilient?
Well, the first step is truly to get from that sympathetic nervous system to the parasympathetic nervous system. So anything you can do to calm down, yoga, breath work, walking, anything, just talking to a friend often calms us down enough to have some semblance of our normal ability to think and to make decisions. And by calming down and getting into the parasympathetic nervous system, we can reach out and we almost know what to do in that situation. But it's the calming down and recognizing what's going on. One of the strangest things that helped me, and it's actually, it's based on science, I realized afterward how true it was, is I was trying to endure. I was working to make it through this pandemic. And I finally took a deep breath and thought logically of all I'd read and all I knew and realized, you know, until we have either a vaccine for everyone or testing available for everyone, we're going to be going through this. So there's a very good chance this is going to last a year to 18 months. And I have no idea if that's true, but I told myself that that was true. And I calmed down. I got so calm, it was shocking. We would prefer to have really bad news than to not know. And that's one of the things going on right now, is there are so many unknowns. It scares us. It raises our anxiety. So even telling myself a story that this would last 12 to 18 months was better than thinking, I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't know if my parents will live, my friends, my loved ones. It simply calmed me down. And it's, again, it's a story. It may be true, it may not be true, but I told myself something that solidified my ability to cope.
Yeah, just taking a little bit of the uncertainty out of it for yourself.
Yes.
And being able to say, okay, this could last a year or 18 months. We don't know right now, but imagine that it did. And how can I be and how can I operate through this time and be calm, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And some of that, I know I've done an earlier podcast about reframing and how we can reframe those thoughts that cause us stress. And so sometimes it's I think that's what you actually did for yourself, in a sense, is reframed how you were looking at the situation.
Yes, absolutely. And a part of that is even gratitude practice, because it helps us reframe our experience. I began doing my gratitude practice again, and of course I got much more centered, much more calm, and saw, wow, I have an extremely long commute to work. Right now I have no commute. I'm deeply grateful for that. Those are a lot of hours that I am saving. And wow, I get to take a walk in the middle of the day. Isn't that an amazing thing? And I'm so deeply grateful for that. So the reframe was my experience. Well, actually, there are some fabulous things about this experience. I'm taking a pause. I'm looking at my life in different ways. Yes, Margo, you're absolutely right. Reframing is one of the best things we can do.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, the gratitude and the reframe, and you know a lot about positive psychology and the impact that has on us and our behaviors. And I'm all about positivity. I am a natural optimist. I'm a glass half full kind of gal. Tell me about what you know about positive psychology and how that actually helps us to be resilient during these times.
Well, positive psychology has many aspects. It's really about applying the research behind positive psychology. So it's often called now applied positive psychology. And to do that, there are a multitude of practices. Just simple things that we've been talking about, gratitude practice. There is a gratitude practice that positive psychologists suggest that includes every day saying three things you're grateful for, but not just what you're grateful for, why they happened in your life. In some way, allowing yourself to be responsible for that, saying, I have a great support network, I'm very, very grateful for that support network. And I built that support network through hard work and because I'm a loving, kind person. And so people tend to like me. So I take some ownership of that thing or experience that I'm grateful for. And you do three of those every day, and it truly rewires the brain. It doesn't just make you feel better. Your brain creates new neural pathways.
I've used that with clients in the past, and you are absolutely correct. It really does work, and people look at things differently. Instead of always noticing the negative or the bad or playing the victim or why did this happen to me, it gets them to kind of step out of themselves and notice things that are good in their lives. I mean, it sounds really simple, but it's not necessarily easy. The trick is you have to actually do it. And the second part of that is, I think the point that you bring up, it's not just mentioning the three good things, it's why you are grateful for those things, or what about those things makes you grateful.
Exactly, Margo.
Are there other practices that you might recommend for us to help build that resilience muscle? Do you have other ideas around this? I like the ones that you've mentioned before, the positive attitude, the reframing, you know, just stepping out of our panic mode and telling ourselves a different story about what we know or don't know to be true, right? What other things have you experienced or could you recommend to people to try? I know the other one that you mentioned is the support network, reaching out to your support network. That is so helpful to me. And I think part of that is if we can help others, it kind of takes us out of our own head, you know, and we can really be there for other people. You know, it's we're helping others, we're thinking of other people. I think that is another way to do it. What other ideas do you have, Constance?
Well, I agree with your, the practice you suggested is helping other people. That is absolutely a resilience skill. Giving, helping other people, And it is something when someone calls and says, I need your help, and you actually help them, it absolutely rewires the brain. And so, and it creates more resilience because you know, oh, I do have some wisdom, even if it's simply, I know the right questions to ask as a good coach. So one of the things that helped me was also using the remote working best practices. It simply gave me an ability to control my environment so that I felt like, oh, this is something I can control, because that creates resilience. If you're only thinking about the fears, like in the sympathetic nervous system, it's hard to function. If you're thinking about what can I control, it increases your resilience because you recognize, oh, there are things within my purview. There are things that I can do. So anything to stay calm and focused. A great role model is an excellent way to enhance resilience skills. Looking at people around you who are handling it well. They're not buckling down and enduring, but they're truly resilient. They're seeing the possibilities for today and in the future. That's truly part of resilience. And one of the things that most people don't like to do, and that is facing the actual fear. I had to face the fact that my parents might actually die. If they got COVID-19, one of them or both of them might die. And it gave me a sense of perspective. It allowed me to grieve and to say, oh, this is a real fear. And I have no control over it. Although I did a little giving practice with my parents. I sent them a number of things that I thought might help them stay shelter in place because they are not leaving their home, some little treats and things, food, edible treats, right? And they were so grateful. They were so happy. They thought, these are things we don't have. So any practice truly that can help you face your fears and develop coping skills. And the one thing that I don't think you mentioned here in the last is that self-care. Self-care truly to me is the number one. Being compassionate and caring about yourself. And the compassion often comes from understanding that this is a normal human experience to go into our sympathetic nervous system. That this is all of ours first pandemic. And our reactions are human reactions. And so building the skills, the resilient skills, or anything that strengthens our ability to bounce back, to be here in this moment now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. None of us have ever experienced anything like this before, not in our lifetimes. And so this is all new for all of us. And so to grant ourselves a little grace in how we deal with this, I think is excellent advice. Tell me a little bit more about rewiring the brain and creating those new neural pathways. Tell me exactly a little bit more about how that works.
Our brains tend to follow the same patterns that they've followed in the past. So if our normal reaction to a situation, to be under stress, is to say, be a victim. Oh my God, why is this happening to me? This is someone else's fault. This is the universe's fault. This is, you know, those people there's fault, wherever you want to point. Those are the neural pathways our brains will go down. And that's when we get stuck. There are many ways to form new neural pathways. But basically, the brain only learns by the perception of a difference. So there has to be a distinction created in order to create a new neural pathway. So for what we talked about earlier, gratitude practice creates new distinctions because we recognize, oh, I was upset about these things, but I'm grateful about this. Look, I can, you know, create a little myelin on these little neurons and create a new pathway. And if I do my gratitude practice enough, I will have a whole different perspective of, oh, I recognize life is good. There are opportunities. There are possibilities. I'm actually enjoying aspects of this experience. But anything,
so it's creating new habits in a way, new thought patterns, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any way to create a distinction in the brain. But new habits are that's all resilience is in the end, are creating new habits, new skills. And skills take time to learn. So another, going back to that compassion, I really don't think there's anything more important than being compassionate with ourselves, because we are human and this is a challenge. And skills take practice and getting feedback. Sometimes we think we've learned a skill and we'll be in a Zoom meeting. I'll be in a Zoom meeting and say something and think, ooh, I fell into an old pattern there, didn't I? So I created a distinction in my mind and I think, no, that isn't how I want to speak. That isn't how I want to be perceived. And so I'll reinforce internally how I do want to be perceived and how I do want to speak. And the pathway becomes a superhighway when we travel it enough.
That's a great way to visualize how those neural pathways form. I like to think of it, you know, it's kind of like a busy freeway that we have these, our normal thought patterns or our habits and how we go about our lives. And then we choose to do something different, create that distinction that you mentioned. And it's kind of like taking a detour on a different road, right? And so
yes,
that's how we have to rewire our brain. It's like we're taking a detour. We're doing something different. And that actually takes mental energy to do that. So being conscious of that and granting ourselves a little grace, we're not going to be perfect as we form some of those new habits. And we know that it's going to take a little bit of time. So thank you for pointing that out. Do you have any final thoughts that you would like to leave us with?
Well, there are ways you can help people around you without trying to preach or teach. And that is staying calm around other people, because the way our brains work, we have mirror neurons in our brains. So if we're anxious, it's one of the most contagious emotions is anxiety. So people around us become anxious. Being calm helps people around us be calm. So not only can we be supportive and listen and do all the role modeling that we could possibly do, but by staying calm, we're helping those in our environment.
Well, thank you for that, Constance, because I agree with you. I think being calm and thinking about how we're showing up and what energy we're bringing with ourselves and how we impact others, I think is especially important during this time. So thank you for sharing some of your wisdom with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Margot. Thank you for inviting me and for this conversation. I've really enjoyed it.
Me too. So these are just some of the things that we can do for ourselves and for others through this difficult time, as this situation could be with us for a while. This is a time where we can practice being resilient. And I hope that some of these practices that have been shared today will help as we all go through this historic time. We hope you'll join us for the next episode of Coaching Conversations with Margot Myers. And don't forget to check out the Shipley Coaching website at shipleycoaching.com. That's where you can find articles, you can find links to other podcasts, and also learn about our programs, including our ACTP coaching course, as well as find out how to partner with us for our leadership engagement course. We're here to share discovery that inspires growth.